Recorded live from their studio in Los Angeles, California, it's Brett and Alex in the Super Beard Show. This week, the news, Nerd Q&A Lightning Round, and as always, Patreon presents Fan Q&A. The date is June 10th, 2022. Support this podcast at patreon.com/superbeardbros. My name is Ted Coonrod. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the fifth ever episode of Super Beard Show. I'm Alex, sitting over there next to me on the couch. That's Brett.
Hello.
And I can't see his face, but I can see his NES-themed Chuck Taylors peeking out in the shadows underneath the table across from us.
Our engineer, can see his hands using sanitizer, which makes me feel better.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, no. Wait a minute. It's aloe vera.
Oh.
Because I think he got a sunburn from being a cool boy on his motorcycle. Is that what it is, Ted?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You like Batman that. All right. Yeah. Hey, it's Ted. What's good?
Hey.
Shout outs to...
That wasn't real.
Hey.
That wasn't the real Ted. I want everyone to know that. I want everyone to know that that's not the real Ted.
That was
Ted.
The beach episode.
He decided to put on a voice because it was like the summer reruns version of Ted. I don't know why.
That was the summer vacation Tiny Toons Ted.
How's it going, guys?
The Japanese studio did the good animation for that episode of Ted.
Yeah, too bad it's a podcast. You can't see it.
Yeah. He's really fluid. Shout outs to the title. Zeros, a.k.a. Wayne, sent us the title today's episode, which is Adventures on Mojoverse.
The Adventures on Mojoverse.
Which my question is to you, as a probably the only person I know who reads like exponentially more X-Men than I do.
Nice pun.
Yep. Exponential. That's my new book. It's my new summer event. Mm. In Mojoverse? On Mojoverse.
Definitely in. But
Mojo World.
Both.
Okay.
But you know, this is Zeros's episode title.
Yeah, this perhaps might not even be X-Men related at all.
Yeah, maybe where he comes from, Mary didn't have a little lamb.
Yeah.
Maybe he had a little sheep.
Mary obtained a small sheep, quiet sheep.
Yeah, who knows? Real talk though. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening to this stupid ass show.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I am back from a world traveling vacation. I'm back. I'm ready to talk about bullshit. Let's jump into the news. So I have before I get into what I have on the outline for this, because I prepped the outline a while ago, I wanted to tell you a little story that happened because, you know, me and Kelly are like
engaged.
We're engaged, but we're walkers. Woo! We're like, we go out and
zombies.
We just go out and we like go into the neighborhood all the time and we'll be like, let's go down this street today. La la la. Who cares?
You do talk like that.
Yeah, I do. I go, hey, let's go down the street.
Yeah.
But so I was just walking down like a random street, like I would say less than a mile from my house, like someplace that I've been many times. And I was talking to her about something. And then I like turned to my left and was like immediately like shut up by like the sight that I beheld. And I'm going to just show you, and it's better than you think it is, audience. Let me just put this.
Oh, shit.
Like,
oh, wow.
Like, look at that. That is like, okay, this is the, what is this? The Back to the Future 2, like Mr. Fusion.
No. So it's a DeLorean, you guys. Yeah. For you people who aren't looking at your screen, it is a very nice DeLorean. It looks like, oh, wow.
There's a couple pics. There is an almanac faded sitting on the dashboard. Like, wow. This is no joke. Like, Biff Tannen was in that house.
Yeah, this is definitely not the souped up. Like, hopefully you guys at home who are watching this, you can see this now, right?
You're going to put the picture. I'm going to show some sort of visual version of this. I might need to, like, edit out the house around it. We'll figure it out.
Oh, word? Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to, like, dock someone.
So.
But you'll see the car.
I'm studying it now. It's definitely like not a regular DeLorean.
It's like screen accurate to me.
It's definitely, yeah, someone trying to. This looks like someone who is in the process of either. It's one of two things. It's either someone who's in the process of creating one of the screen accurate ones, yeah. Either one, two, or three. Or this is someone who's put a lot, like is done, basically, and is just like, yeah, it's not perfectly screen accurate to one, but it combines elements from a bunch that I like. Yeah.
And it looks very, at a glance, completely, like, it looks like a fucking...
No, dude, it looks incredible. Like, yeah. I just want to touch it.
Yeah.
Did you touch it?
I was too scared to touch. I was scared to be taking pictures of it.
Think it'd be cold?
Hot. It's reflective hot metal, like a fucking baseball scene.
I was making a reference to the first movie, but that's okay.
Oh. Well, dee-dee-dee-dee. It was so hot. Dee-dee-dee-dee. It was so hot. It actually affected my vision when I looked at it.
Man,
that's the best sound in the movie. The one that goes, the first one that comes. Like that
first. Dude, just Silvestri sounds. Yeah,
that first little.
Same soundtrack as Predator. Line them up, guys. It works.
Yo, are you excited for Prey?
No.
No?
No. Sorry, are we doing some sort of podcast? Should I talk more about that?
I should. You know, one of the segments should be like, I should try.
Are you excited for?
We should try and get as many no's out of each other as possible without getting a yes. Like,
okay.
Like coming up with questions enough in a row to just get like dead
we
ass.
We lose
no.
the game when someone has to talk.
Yeah.
Well, someone has to express
it.
An opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to explain it.
This is really fuck. I'm still staring at this picture.
It's like a remarkably.
I'm also trying my hardest not to read Kelly's text that she's sending you right now.
Uh-oh.
I'm not. I haven't yet. Like, I feel the vibration. I look and I see the picture. I'm like, okay, look at the picture. It's not that hard because this car is fucking excellent.
It's like, it's better than anyone that I've ever seen. I go to a lot of nerd things. It looks better than anyone that I've ever seen outside of like fucking Universal Studios.
We had this conversation, in my opinion, we had this conversation like a while ago. But maybe I'll ask Ted. Actually, I am curious to ask Ted, but I'm simultaneously curious to ask Ted because he is younger than us. But also, I feel like I will dismiss his, like, I'll care the least about his opinion because he's younger than us. But I'm still going to do it. That's We're talking about the Holy Trinity of, like, classic, cool-ass movie cars. We're talking about the DeLorean. You already sang the song. So I know you're already somewhat of a Back to the Future fan, Ted, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, this is probably going to be the one. But we were talking about the DeLorean. We were talking about the 89 Batmobile. We were talking about the Ecto-1. And it was like, which one would you want to drive? Like, if it were, like, not to say that, it, like, this DeLorean can't travel through time. It's like a replica. But it's like a perfect replica. Which of the three would you want to be, like, this is my, like, I have this. I have this and I drive it. It is not your main car and it's not something that you're going to keep in a display case forever. You will drive it occasionally. This is your fucking car. Which one of the three would you rather have?
I think I said Batmobile, yeah?
Well, it sounds like that's what you're saying now.
Yeah, my only thing about the Batmobile is, like, oftentimes Batman puts people in his car.
Yeah.
But the Batmobile from Batman 89 doesn't seem like the most convenient Batmobile in terms of space.
It's very, when you space, you mean like it's too big to park or space is inside?
Yeah, like inside the car, like it's got like the little, like almost like 1940s airplane.
Yeah,
seat.
Like none of them are fucking comfortable for more than two people. You know?
That's, well, the Ecto-1 I feel like can.
Oh, I thought you were talking about between all Batmobiles.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I was talking about Ecto-1, 89 Batmobile. Oh. And
yeah, the one, if you're looking to take a road trip, the Ecto-1 is the one to do.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, Ted, what about you? Which one would you want to drive?
Maybe the Ecto-1.
What did you say?
Did Ecto-1? You really say the Ecto-1?
Oh, what?
Why?
Do you love the Ghostbusters?
Well, I have more space to put in there.
God damn it. Oh, all right, let's move on.
If you could choose
a Ghostbusters,
port?
Too.
I thought you were going to reveal. I was so excited. I thought you were going to reveal to me, Ted, that like, oh, yeah, I've always loved the Ghostbusters. Oh, and I just had no idea. But Ted's like, well, I mean, if you look at the mileage that you get out.
A Porsche, a minivan, or a Lexus?
Well, wait, why can't it be both?
It can be both. It's just funny that the first thing you said was
the
space.
The first reason you brought up was space.
Well, that was the last thing Alex mentioned. And
why
I was like,
would you pick the Ecto-1? What's the number one reason you're picking the Ecto-1?
I like the logo identifiability and...
You'd feel good driving down the street in the Ecto-1.
And I was going to say the DeLorean, but then Alex said... Or then someone said there's only two seats. And I was like, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's true. There is only two seats in the DeLorean. I don't know if in the real DeLorean. I think so. The flux capacitor is like
in
the back.
I think you can get in the back of a real DeLorean.
I don't know. I've never been inside.
I think the seat moves up.
Oh, really?
Like you open the gull wing and I think the seat moves up a bit.
You seen the new DeLorean?
What?
They just announced a new one.
No.
Like last week?
No.
Yeah. It's not in any way related to the previous one other than that somebody bought the brand, but whatever. Anyway, that wasn't even what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about Street Fighters.
Hey.
Yeah.
Nobody asked me what car I would. You already know what car I would
pick. You already
said,
yeah.
Ted, you did not going to ask me what car I would pick?
What car would you pick?
I don't want to talk about it. Let's move on.
No. You asked me to ask you.
I would pick the Ecto.
That's like a softball.
I love all those cars to death.
Yeah, sure.
But I'd be like the hood ice cream man. Except that like I wouldn't roll down the street and slang ice cream. I would slang just smiles to 30 and 40 year old dudes and their families nowadays.
You think most people would be scared hearing the sound or like be like, I know what that is?
Most people?
Because it's a pretty scary sound.
Yeah, there's animal sounds in it. Man, I love the sound of that.
Yeah.
The ignition sound?
Oh, yeah.
I
can't even make that with my mouth. There's too much going on.
It's crazy. I think most people would be confused because it's like, what kind of European ass ambulance sound is that? Yeah. But I think there's a big contingency like that. I feel like that siren.
Yeah. To me, it's
the ice cream. Like I get excited for that.
Yeah, direct
like,
line.
If I heard that on the streets, I'd be like, oh, what?
You know? I know what that is.
Yeah. Exactly. And I would just bust down. I would go through neighborhoods and just let people take pictures and shit. I would just bring joy to people.
Makes me feel young to even think about that sound.
Breaks my heart. I love it.
I was going to talk about Street Fighter 6, but maybe we can do that next time if that's not what you brought for news. But
what do you mean if that's not what I brought? Well, because it comes we ran out of time? Is that what it is?
I just talked a lot. I was going to talk about Street Fighter 6, but
you can talk about it if you want.
But it's okay. We did 10 minutes on the DeLorean.
That's fine. All right, great. All right.
What do you got?
What do I have? What do you mean?
What do you got for the news? You want to talk about Street Fighter 6? The trailer for Guile just dropped. It looks sick as hell.
We're just saying that because we like literally watched it before we started recording.
I wrote it though. I was going to talk about it already.
That's true. You're going to talk about Street Fighter 6. Yeah, Street Fighter 6 is, we got lots of new footage for that.
Is it official? Do you feel weird talking about leaks?
No.
Like there's been like a hell of a leak. I don't want to spoil it for anybody if they're not trying to get spoiled, but like I also kind of don't care about you if you don't want to get spoiled.
Wow.
Isn't that weird? Like it's my show. Like I kind of just want to talk about whatever I want to talk about, but.
Well, yeah, but I do think it is considerate for us to be like, if you don't want to know the full roster of Street Fighter VI, because I think we're about to talk about
it. We can, yeah.
Then you may want to, you know, skip forward.
Skip ahead a little.
Skip ahead.
If you want to participate in the weird, like months long hype machine.
Which I understand. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, I feel it. I don't know. The thing that I really have been excited about with Street Fighter VI is how I just like the style. Mm-hmm. We can talk about the fighting ticky tacky too, but
you know, there's a video game in there somewhere.
Well, just as an enthusiast, like as an enthusiast, just looking at the rollout, the characters, how the game looks, how it seems, it feels very like it looks like a sequel. I think it is. I think you said it's confirmed to be a sequel to the latest game. Like this is the most recent in the timeline.
Yeah, but those are two. Both of those things are true, but both of those things are two different things as well.
Well, I just mean visually, it does look like it spun out of Street Fighter 3 in the same way that the story seems to have spun out of Street Fighter 3. And it kind of has like a sort of like hip hop vibe to
it. That's all that's real. And one of the producers of the game recently made a statement somewhere online that was, you know, paraphrasing here, but along the lines of we feel that the hip hop culture and Street Fighter mesh very well together. Wow. And it was kind of, it didn't shock me or surprise me because I've known that since 1997 or 8.
Yeah.
I get it. And I think what shocked me was when someone put it in a particular way. They were like, man, I can't believe we're finally getting a sequel to Street Fighter 3. And I was like, oh shit, that's true. Because like, for those of you who don't know, Street Fighter 3 came out in 1997, 6 or 7.
The OG one? Yeah, I don't even 6 know. 6 or 7. Yeah.
And that has been, even though multiple Street Fighter games have come out after that, Street Fighter 3 on the timeline, on its own internal timeline, has been like the latest one.
Yeah.
Chronologically, its narrative has been the furthest along its own timeline. Except for now, because of Street Fighter 6. So, of course, lots of people, including myself, are very excited about, actually, yes, please, let's develop the narrative in these characters a bit. But more so, yeah, what feels craziest to me, because it got put that way, and I witnessed it, I was like, oh, shit. This is kind of a, like, we've gotten sequels to Street Fighter 4. If somebody told me Street Fighter 4 is a sequel to Street Fighter 3, I'd be like, yes, of course it is.
Technically, you're right. Yeah.
No, like, you're not even technically, like, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Street Fighter V, the same thing. They're all sequels to Street Fighter III. But yeah, aesthetically,
they feel like more like HD Street Fighter II kind of family than this one does.
Aesthetically, Street Fighter VI is the child of Street Fighter III. Yeah. And I guess the reason that feels so surprising is just because there are so many aspects of Street Fighter III that have been not neglected, but certainly like not yes anded like in skipped, the franchise.
Yeah.
They just haven't been yes anded as hard as, like you mentioned, a lot of aspects of Street Fighter II. Understandably, Street Fighter III was nowhere near as popular as Street Fighter II.
Big shoulders.
But that's right, big shoulders. I'm just glad. I'm glad to see some of this stuff yes anded. That's all.
Yeah. Well, okay. Personal question then. Because mm-hmm. Sometimes you gotta go purse. As a guy, you mm-hmm. spend a lot of time, same thing with X-Men. You spend a lot of time thinking about Street Fighter
yep.
compared to me. Like, where's the hype level at this point compared to where the hype level was at this point for 5 or 4? I feel like 4 Ooh. Was like something else. I feel like 4 was like all fighting games returning. Was like
on, yeah, that's true.
On the wings of Street Fighter 4.
That's
but,
true.
But in terms of a Street Fighter game, like, I don't know. This one to me looks the most like one that I want to play in a very long time.
Oh, okay. It's hard for me to quantify that. I'm very hype anytime a new Street Fighter gets announced. I wish I could remember that. Yeah. But I think you are right. Like the hype around Street Fighter 4 may have been the most palpable just because.
Yeah. Time and a place. Like,
you know, the last mainline Street Fighter before that was in 99 and then Street Fighter 4 got announced, I think, in 07. So that was, that was the better part of a decade waiting for like another Street Fighter. And so when it finally got announced, yeah, the hype was real.
Yeah.
So like that made that like just by due to that nature, it might be 4. You know?
Yeah.
Like I'm not me sitting here waiting for Street Fighter VI. I probably only have to wait until maybe I think 8 months
total.
Yeah. Maybe 10 months, you know, like a year, right? At most I have to wait a year.
Probably. They might drop a demo even. We don't know.
There'll be betas. Yeah. Make no mistake. But like, yeah, like you make a good point. At the most I have to wait a year for Street Fighter VI. There will also be multiple opportunities probably for me to play it before it officially comes out. Compare that to Street Fighter IV. Which was like, I was sitting there like, water in the desert, except it's like, new Capcom fighter, please. Like,
yeah,
that was me in 05, 06 and shit. And then it finally got dropped.
Which was the godlike move.
It finally dropped it in 08. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. So yeah, that probably wins to answer your question.
What? Oh, okay. Now scummy, the worst question ever. Uh-huh. Like just awful.
Yeah.
Do you think it looks better than Street Fighter V?
Better.
Just the worst question ever, but like
better.
Do you feel like they took what Street Fighter V was doing and you feel like it looks like they might be trying to outdo it? And like, or do you think it's, you know, maybe they looked at Street Fighter V and said, because I don't know, there's two ways to look at it, right? Street Fighter V to some people is a failure. You know what I mean? Like to people who don't play it, who are looking at it from the outside and are being cynical, they say it had a terrible launch. It like lowered the sort of brand of Street Fighter below a lot of other like more hot anime style fighters. And it kind of put Street Fighter on its back foot. And the fact that it was exclusive to a platform kind of like also hurt it. Street Fighter VI is here, not exclusive to a platform as far as I know. I believe it's coming to Xbox as well as PlayStation. And I don't know, like, do you feel-
Yeah, what is your question?
Like, do you feel like this is going to be a Street Fighter that builds on Street Fighter V? Or is this like when they made that last Star Wars movie and they were like, actually, fuck the last movie. We're going to do this instead.
It's hard for me to answer that question, but because, and yet I feel like it's very easy for me. Of course, the answer is yes. Yes, they're building on Street Fighter V. There's so much of Street Fighter V already I can tell in Street Fighter VI.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Like, it's not like they're completely ignoring it, but I can see DNA of Street Fighter III we already talked about in VI.
Yeah.
I can see DNA of IV in there a little bit. Yeah, this is just a new Street Fighter. Like, I'm still not quite sure what you're asking me, but like, this is.
Does it look like we're on the same path and we're learning and growing, or do you think that they took a right turn to like fix a mistake that they made with V?
I have no idea. I have no idea what. I don't understand what the mistake. Like, look, I'm never a guy that's going to be like, here's what the developers were intending, right?
Yeah,
because I don't presume that shit. I would never presume to do that. I don't know what the developer's intentions are with 5 or 6. I think it is presumptuous of me to say that anything is a failure because I don't know what these guys were trying to do, right? Okay. Like, so all I know is that I fucking love Street Fighter V. I'm probably going to love Street Fighter VI because I just love Street Fighter in general. I can see, even from small bits of footage I've seen of Six, I can see pieces of DNA from most other Street Fighters ever.
Hottest sure. character on the roster? Like one that looks the dopest?
Hottest?
Like not like sexiest, just like
uh-huh.
who's got the look?
Like who just looks the coolest?
Yeah. You guys can look up the roster yourself.
Ryu.
Oh,
yep.
It is truly the best he's looked. That's like yep. real.
Yep. That is. Yep.
I Ryu. Was into Ryu last time too, and I still think they even outdid it. I'm ready for Marita.
Yeah, she looks cool. She's like one of the lowest ones on my list as far as. Let me put it this way: Marita, who is like she looks like a Way giant time. Woman who is wearing like a Greco-Roman gladiator outfit.
Yeah.
Crossed with MMA,
has like a Sagat vibe to it,
and her hair, yeah. her bright red lipstick shaded hair, is in the hard shape of a Roman centurion helmet.
Yeah,
like I see what they're going for.
Yeah,
looks terrible to me. Like I don't like the way she looks at all. That being said, she's probably one of my top three people I want to play.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
Because I'm looking at her, I'm like, I feel like I'm predicting that her gameplay will be right there. So all I need is like. An alternate costume that makes her look pretty different. I'm like, great, we're
yeah.
in there.
And I like that new chick who's got the like blue things in her hair. I like that look with the red hoodie over her top.
Kimberly.
I didn't pick up her name yet, but yeah.
It's because she's black. I get it. She's not working.
Yeah, I don't.
This motherfucker was like, I love Maritza, the character who hasn't had her name officially revealed, but that other character who has her name, the little blue hair.
But real talk, I just like that look. I like that. I mean, I don't know. It reminds me of Street Fighter 3. I'm in. And you were talking about how the meter looks like it might be like multiple levels of supers.
Well, there's two meters.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these last games. And it's they haven't confirmed multiple level supers, but it certainly seems that way. Because I've seen two supers now that are, I think three, that are like, they don't change the camera angle when they're activated.
Right. That dial trailer kind of like underlined that a little bit.
They seem, those supers seem, what's the word I'm looking for? They have less pomp.
Yeah.
And then I've seen like the ones that in the trailers are the ones that, you know, the super cinematic and shit. I'm like, they probably cost more, maybe do, you know, multiple level supers. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, which is something they haven't done
in a minute.
Since
PSP, probably.
Since, oh shit, when is the last time?
Alpha 3?
Yeah, because in Street Fighter 3, you have to pick a super.
Yeah.
So it might be the Alpha series. Yeah, yeah. It might be the Alpha series.
That's actually like, if you're like a like hacker pirate dude and you're like, I want to play a good fighting game, Alpha 3, that like big version has like a bunch of like weird sprites in it from a bunch of different games. It looks kind of weird.
Oh, yeah.
I love that game.
Yeah.
That's a great like 2000s fighting game pastiche. Anyways, you got anything for news?
That was it.
Okay, great. That's the news. We're into a part of the show now that I like to call the meat of the show. And I'm a dance captain this week, so I'm going to call it the Nerd Q&A Lightning Round.
Break the targets.
Break! Dude, do you know the story of Bradley and Smash Bros. At my house?
Which one?
Kelly was playing... Smash Bros.
I definitely know this story, yeah. But you should tell everybody.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
It's incredible.
Sorry, Bradley. You don't know which Bradley it is. Basically, Kelly was like having a day with her work friends. They always go get dim sum at this place that has half price dim sum on Sundays. So after work, after the shift, they like go get dim sum and then they like hang out at my house a little bit too. And I wasn't there, but Kelly was like hanging out and they were all playing Smash and having a good time, like looking at, it was like around the time that Hero came out. So like there was like a lot of new characters and people were excited. And so they wanted to just look at it and they were fucking around. And then Bradley came home and was like, what are you guys doing? Smash Bros? Can I play? And he proceeded to like mercilessly beat them all over and over again until they didn't want to play anymore.
Dude, don't do that.
Oh no.
I forgot about that. But Kelly told that story the other day because she was talking about why she doesn't like fighting games.
She's next.
Huh?
She's next for the dojo.
Oh, shit. That would be amazing.
But the show would just be about her. It'd be 20 episodes. The end of the show would be episode 25, where she goes, all right, I'll try one.
Like that's, I'll play one round. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. You guys, you can't... if you're with people and playing a game, make sure they're having a good time. Like, you know,
yeah.
Make sure they're having a good time.
Remember you sat down to do something fun.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, what the Nerd Q&A lightning round is instead of asking the patrons questions, what I did was I also put out a call for people to ask us questions about very nerdy things.
Oh, God.
And I told them to try it. And I'm not going to like put a hard, fast time limit on the question.
Which Avatar third tier character is your favorite?
Like the deep shit. But I asked them,
one?
Make sure that we can probably succinctly answer it in about 3 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like I tried to narrow the scope a little bit, but I'm not going to say that we're not going to talk for more than 3 minutes on any of these.
I hope we spend 45 minutes on the first question.
Are you ready for the first question?
I hope we Kevin Smith this.
Dude.
Oh, man. Hey, what's going on, Fat Kev Smith? Hey, Gotham City, I'm here.
I was sliced alone in there for a second.
Hey, where's the penguin?
Hey, my face is melting off.
You ready for expend formals?
My face is melting off. Hey, I look like Harvey Dent.
I'm Harvey Dent from Batman.
The question is, what is your opinion on Jack Nicholson's Joker portrayal in 89's Batman? That's from Baronade.
I grew up with it. I love it.
I think it's probably my favorite on-screen Joker just because I'm a child of the 90s, and that was the Batman movie that was like the good, but that one and Batman Returns were like the two mm-hmm. that I really liked mm-hmm. when I was a kid. But I also want to like just take a second to like talk about what Batman was like in the 80s also, because I think that I might be just like being a dick, but I'm like kind of like pulling an extra piece of context from this question. Something about the way it's worded or something about that. I don't know. This is like me using my psychic powers. It's just me feeling like maybe the common understanding nowadays among young people is that it's kind of like not that good of a portrait, like a hokey portrayal.
Oh?
I think so. Because if you look, he's like much closer to Cesar Romero than he is to like Heath. You know what I mean? He's like much less realistic. There's like B-boy dancing with dollars and like weird berets. And there's all kinds of shit going on, right? It's like a different world, right? But Batman at the time as a comic book was like way hokier, even in the 80s, than it is now.
Ooh, now that's a statement.
Campier. Let's say campier rather than hokier.
I don't.
Because camp is not all something
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Camp is not something that I see as a negative. I think it's a tone thing. Hokey makes it seem like I'm saying something shitty, but
go ahead.
It's campier. All Batman was campier, and like a villain was still more like, I'm going to get you, Batman. Your little friends are going to go to jail. You know, whatever. Like, I don't know. And I think Jack Nicholson's Joker is the most fun anybody's had playing the Joker, for sure.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Thanks, Baronade.
Yeah. Next question comes from Brandon. He says, which pop culture phenomenon has the best accompanying cereal product and or ice cream bar?
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, Lord. Right? When's the last time I was excited about any cereal that wasn't
the one cereal that you eat?
A regular brand. When's the last time I was like, yo, I remember being a kid and being like, yes, please get me the turtle cereal. Yes, I want that Spider-Man cereal, please.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't remember. I remember they were tasty, but none of them were like, you know, like.
Like killer cereal?
Yeah.
No, they're all shitty.
I don't think it exists.
Also ice cream bars in the mix.
Once again, like we've all had the fucking Ninja Turtle in the Sonic the Hedgehog with the gumball eyes.
Yeah.
But it's never been like, like you get them because you love the character, you know?
I got one.
Okay, hit me.
Push-ups.
Oh.
Yeah.
You might win that one.
Yeah.
With the Flintstones brand.
Yeah.
Orange Barney? Grape Barney?
There's two of them. Yeah.
No, there's three. It's cherry, grape, and orange.
Oh, yeah. There's like a red, an orange, and a purple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Wait, hold on. Which was which?
Is it a test or can I look it up?
It's a test.
Okay.
I want to say Barney's orange.
Barney.
Because that's what I used to get.
Barney what? Barney Brorange?
I don't think they were that clever with it.
Oh, really?
I don't think they made up names.
I don't know.
Rockin'. Grape. I don't know.
I cannot. Rocks and.
Granted, grape.
Rocks and grapes. Dino's shitty red bar.
Mesozoic cherry.
What's the other kid's name? Bam Bam.
Bam Bam.
brown.
Brown.
I want brown. I want Ben Ben Brown.
Actually, I mean, Pebbles also are a great cereal.
Oh, I'm sorry, kid. We don't. That's the answer, by the way. You nailed it. The answer is the fucking Flintstones.
The Flintstones.
The Flintstones. With Pebbles and the push-up pops, they got the game
Cocoa
on.
Pebbles? Lock. Cocoa or Fruity?
It doesn't matter. They're both great. They're both great.
Mix and match?
No, I will not. I don't want to mix those.
Okay.
They've got the game on lock.
Yeah.
They've got the game on lock. You know how I know? Because those motherfuckers have been around for decades, right? That Ninja Turtles cereal lasted what? 4 years?
Yeah. Right? Not even, probably.
The fucking Spider-Man cereal was like 2 years. The Flintstones is like, I have been around far longer than you realize, and I'll be here far longer after you're gone. They're still around, Pebbles. I don't know. Are Push Pops still around?
I don't know, but they, based on the taste, they fucking should be, because those are good as fuck.
It's been a while. Maybe they're not, but I remember them being delicious.
They're weird. Like, I would use the word foamy to describe the way that they taste.
Well, you don't make them sound good.
Well, but I mean, think back to how they taste. They're very soft.
Yeah.
And they're very like, they have like, if you like moved it with your mouth.
Sherbety.
Yeah, if you moved it with your mouth and like didn't bite it all the way off, it would like retain that shape. It was like malleable.
Yeah. It's soft. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like air in it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I called it foamy, but that's like the worst.
It's gross.
Yeah. Flintstones, hands down.
I think the Flintstones wins.
Yeah. Maybe I'm forgetting something. I know the audience wants me to say that shitty Sonic bar.
No.
But that thing tastes like shit.
It's fine.
And the gum is gross.
Yeah, it's nothing.
I've got it. The SpongeBob one is better.
Never even
had
that.
Throw the shade. I don't care. Bomb Pop is better than both of those things.
Agreed.
Yeah. Get out of my head. Get out of my head. Next question is like a deep question. Here we go. This is from Gentry. What makes for a satisfying superhero or villain? Is it more important to have interesting abilities or a good backstory?
Neither. I think people place too much emphasis on both those things. Somebody in the chat, my Twitch chat, was asking about something like this before. Obviously, those things are important to a lot of people. And honestly, they're important to me too. You could have a person who has the most derivative. You could have a person who has the most derivative powers of all time. And they could still make them like. I feel like I'm making two points at once. Let me slow down.
Yeah.
You could have somebody who has the most derivative power of all time. You could have a character who has no powers whatsoever.
Right.
And you can still make very compelling stories with them. In fact, I've read plenty. You can have someone who has plenty of backstory, like, oh, their past has been detailed or in many, you know, pieces of media, or maybe been constantly hinted at so people can build it up themselves. Or you can have a character whose backstory is never hinted at and never brought up, and you just pick up the story from right there, and you can still tell compelling stories. I don't think either of those things are crucial. And to me, what makes for compelling characters is, do they have a strong want, and do they change over the course of trying to get that want? I think that's all it comes down to.
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about camp again.
Here, oh boy,
Like, camp, right, brings sort of like a different, it's not as deep, right? Like, you kind of want to like stay on the surface with the camp stuff. Like, if you're looking at something like, again, like Batman, but like the Adam West Batman, which is very campy, like he's a hero and technically Catwoman is like a villain,
mm-hmm.
but we're talking about something so campy. And I think in that case, yeah, like being kind of a certain way or just characterizing it in a fun way is all you really need. But in a comic book that's like deep and modern and using all the tricks and powers that a comic book can do to tell you stories, I think if I had to boil down what I think makes a good hero and what makes a good villain, I would say for the hero, there has to be a good way inside the hero's brain, like where you can kind of like get into the head, like get the, you and the hero can like get their, like your mission and their mission. You can like empathize with their mission and like kind of like feel what they feel, I think, to me is the number one thing for a hero. Like, great example of this, like that is like accessible to everyone, I would say, is like Spider-Man, where like he has a like the fastest route to that, which is that he's just like a normal guy trying to deal with his powers and be a superhero. It's like something that like I as a person on my earth with no superpowers can still sort of like, I can like get into Spider-Man's head. I think to me, in a superhero story, I think that's the, if they're the main character and it's like a traditional, like he's the main character, I think that's the thing. And for villains, I think it needs to be a motivation. I mean, and of course, I'm assuming that these are well-written things. Like, obviously, everything needs to be well-written to be good. But I think that the villain needs a motivation that in their mind leads them to believe that they are correct. I think to me that is, I mean, obviously there's exceptions to these rules, but like to me, if I was teaching like a 101 comic book class on what I think makes good comics, to me, that would be it. I know we didn't even really mention comics in the question, but when it's superheroes and villains, I mean, let's be real, comics. So like, that's kind of my thoughts. And that's not hard and fast, but that's just sort of my take on it. I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know. What do you think about that?
I disagree with most of it, but I think that's like, you know,
yeah, makes sense. Different writers.
We're very different.
But yeah, that's kind of my take on it. I feel like the superhero is there to bring us all into the story and the villain is there to like give us like a quandary because the villain believes in themselves. Mm. Like doing, like it's weird to imagine most villains that are in comic books doing what they do just to be evil. Like robbing a bank just to be evil is like weird.
Yeah. I don't think we've seen that stuff in a long,
long time. Yeah. Next question is from Alex, and she wants to know, what is your favorite cheesy 90s kids movie?
Cheesy. Oh boy. Oh man. I watched so many, you know, kids 90s. Movies back then. Watched a lot of kids movies. Here's one that doesn't get talked about a lot, but everyone I talk to that remembers it is like, it was fucking tight.
Yeah.
Heavyweights.
Oh, I love Heavyweights.
Go check it out, y'all.
I love that movie. Was like made for me.
Trust me. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
I think I was going to say Good Burger.
Oh,
if I don't think about it enough, like a lot, like what was my favorite one? Like I watched it a lot. Mm. I don't know. Like I don't stand by that today as like, I think it's the best kids movie. But like when I was a kid, like my real experience was I watched a shitload of Good Burger and I watched a shitload of Jumanji.
Sure.
And those two, I mean, I don't know. Jumanji's kind of on the edge. It's more of a family film than just for kids. Like there's, it's a little scary.
Family film than just for kids.
It gets like a little PG-13-y to me. Like it's kind of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like less cheesy all the time.
Hey man, Heavyweights, I think twice mentioned someone's wiener.
That's true.
I don't know what his rating was, but like twice I feel like they're like, oh, I think they say ass a couple times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's true. Jumanji people are in mortal danger. It's a little bit different.
There's like blood and shit. David Alan Grier's in there.
Yeah, you don't, black people scare middle America. They were like, oh, that just bumps up your rating.
He's just,
at least
he's
one
just
point
like
right
an
there.
Adult comic. I don't know. Like he's there for the adults.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I think some kids dug David Alan Grier, not by because they're like, it's David Alan Grier. Mostly like, haha, you funny. You know
the
what I mean?
Funniest.
He gave a funny performance.
When the Vine pulls his car into the wall.
Ah! I can't scream. Who can scream like David Alan Grier?
That's like my favorite scene in the movie. Okay. That's cheesy 90s kids movies. I don't know. Do 80s movies count?
Well, he said, she said 90s, right?
Well, it says, what is your favorite cheesy 90s kids movie? And I don't know if that means a cheesy movie for 90s kids.
Oh.
Or if it's like a movie.
I assumed it was a cheesy, quote, or whatever that means, 90s from the 90s kids movie for kids.
Because definitely, I was born technically in the 80s in 88.
Right.
But I'm definitely a 90s kid. But. Mm-hmm. I would say that in the 90s, I mostly watched movies from the 80s and before.
That's weird. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
For sure. But I picked a 90s movie because I thought that she wanted to know a movie from the
90s. Yeah, because if it's 80s, I would probably say some Disney movie, something like Flight of the Navigator, something like that.
Oh my God, I loved Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah. That movie like actually slaps.
Oh man, I loved it.
That music in there.
Hey man, I used to rent Mac and Me at least like multiple times when I was a kid. I did.
That movie.
Alex just did the, you guys can't see it. It was just for me.
Yeah.
I think he did it for y'all, but like you can, he's doing it. He's doing it right here. Do it. Maybe they can hear it. Here.
Can you guys hear it?
He's doing it. He's doing the face.
Yeah. I'm doing the I'm drinking Coke. I'm an alien that was made to drink Coke face.
I remember we did the Master Beer Theater on it and like it had been decades since I had seen it.
Man.
And it was it was like learning. It was like watching old home movies. With you in it.
Yeah.
from when you were like very young.
Yeah.
And realizing, like watching that movie and realizing that, oh, they were selling me things this whole movie.
Was it when this football player cartwheeled across the counter of the McDonald's?
But my point, like what I'm saying is, when I watched that movie and it was very clear that like this was not healthy, this movie, they were specifically selling me things this entire movie, that is why it exists, was like watching home movies and suddenly remembering that your uncle used to touch you wrong.
Yeah.
Like that's what that's what it felt like.
It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, this was exactly. I was like, dude. I was watching it again as an adult was like, I was wronged.
Can't believe I liked this.
Yeah. Like I was fucking wronged. That's how bad it felt. That being said, yeah, I'll watch Mac and Me again. Let's fucking do it. Let's watch it.
As a kid, the movie that I actually watched the most of any movie, The Mummy.
Okay.
The Mummy, Brendan Fraser.
See, by the time The Mummy came out, I couldn't count myself as a kid.
I was 11.
You were unequivocally a kid.
Yeah.
I was 13. So.
Ah, see, that's
yeah, it's not a kid movie. Yeah.
Stuff starts changing.
Even if I were 12, if there was a movie that came out when I was 12 that I went on to love, I wouldn't count that as a kid. Like, I was a kid. Nah, it's too old for me.
I wouldn't say The Mummy's a kid's movie. Don't get me wrong.
Right, like, of course. Yeah, but yeah, I know what the point I'm making is that I think for me, the cutoff of like unequivocally, like you are a kid is 10. Like 11, you're starting to be like a preteen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
I think 10
you
years
start
old,
to reject your kidness when you're like, yeah.
Like 10 years old and below, you're like, oh yeah, you're a fucking kid. All right.
Also, shout outs to Shrek, because we didn't talk about cartoons, but Shrek's pretty good.
See, that's another one. Yeah. That's one that I didn't grow up with.
True.
Yeah.
It's like my hook.
Yep. That Shrek is the gulf betwixt us.
Yeah. Next question comes from Brian. This is a totally different world.
Hello, Brian.
He says, if you could telepathically communicate with an animal, do you think it would think in any way comparable to humans?
No. Absolutely not.
In my dream world, like I talk to the dog and the dog is like, come here. I have a secret I found.
Of course.
Yeah.
We'd want that.
Yeah.
But no.
No.
If you talk to a dog, the best you would get is like, food, food.
A lot more sex talk than you probably expect.
Yep.
Like the dog probably doesn't know you as well as you think he does.
Right.
Even the really good dog, Snoopy.
Like right.
That dog speaks English and he's probably not even.
I think animals are far dumber in ways than we think. I know I do it all the time. We anthropomorphize these creatures because we love them to death. There's nothing wrong with that. I love it. But if we wanted to get scientific about it, if we could really, like, if we put on a fucking, like, remember Egon Spengler's fucking machine that he slapped onto Rick Moranis when he came by to, like, look inside the head and shit?
100%.
If we put that on an animal, or even Doc Brown's fucking, don't say anything, don't say a word, that thing.
Yeah.
If we put that on an animal and it actually worked, I think what would come out at best is like monosyllabic, guttural desires.
Yeah, 100%. That's definitely their motivation all the time. Mm. Security, eating, and fucking.
Mm-hmm. We're not that different.
Yeah.
We're not that
different. Though, I will say, I don't think that it would be like an English scenario if it really was real. Like if there was real, if there was real, like some sort of, if I was an X-Man, if I was like,
right,
you know, White Queen.
All the people to choose.
That's who I would be if I could be any X-Man.
I'm just picturing you in one of her fucking outfits.
You should keep thinking about that. Because
Is it
my powers or is it you thinking about?
Oh wait, is it me? Is it him?
But yeah, like I don't know. Like I think it would be more like impression, it'd be like empathy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you could kind of be like, you'd be the translator, I think.
Like it'd be, I agree. It'd be less hearing the word kibble and more seeing a vague picture of kibble in your mind.
Yeah. That would be the ideal situation.
I don't know about ideal, but I think it's the most realistic one.
Oh yeah. I mean like if ideal, I tried to talk to once Wallace again, and he's would be got like, a little French accent and he's
ideal would be like, excuse me, sir. I think I have to relieve myself. Can you take me outside, please?
I think they would ruin my relationship with my dog if he was like, pardon me.
If he had more class than you?
If he were like, yeah, he was like more sophisticated.
Like and yet still chose to like eat its own shit.
That's like enlightened behavior to me, man. Look at all those monks in the fucking mountains.
Do they eat their own shit?
They're pissing in like a fucking hole. You know, they're just, they're gross types.
Who are these? Who are we talking about?
These people that like go live in the mountains by themselves and they're like spiritual geniuses and people like go visit them, but they like are dirty and stuff. Like, I love that. I love that life.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
No, but okay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's real.
Okay.
It's real. It's not just for movies. You know what I mean? All right, here we go. This one's from Larry D. Love
Look
that name.
Look at me, I'm Larry D. I have questions for thee. Read them on air and it makes me feel fair. I'm Larry D.
Welcome. This is greetings from Australia from Larry D.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, no.
Look at.
Okay. No, that's good. Olivia Newton-John is Australian.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know that Larry D is actually Australian. That was just my little bit. What scent triggers your fondest memory? For example, there's a particular brand of rose perfume that reminds me of a teacher that I had when I was a kid. That was one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Mm. Wow.
Fondest memory is the tough part. Like, I could tell you like 10 scents that trigger memories. But man. I don't know about the fondest memory.
Man, oh man, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I got one.
Oh, yeah.
Smelling my mom's perfume when she would pick me up from daycare.
Yeah.
After I hugged her.
That's nice, huh?
So nice.
Those scents, man, the olfactory senses have a stranglehold on our memory centers.
Weirdly, yeah.
A stranglehold.
That's like some animal shit right there.
Yeah. Let's see. It is hard for me to say. I just have to piggyback off what Ted said. It is hard for me. Like I am sad. I am sad to realize and admit that I can't recall any piece of what I'm thinking of, but I know it exists. And I know that if I even got a small whiff, an inkling of what I'm thinking of, it would all come back immediately. But just the scent of my grandma's, man.
Yeah.
Like, I miss them so much. And I know they each had a distinct smell. And I know if I got like a single whiff, I got to call one, man. I got to call my Momo out in that, like, Louisiana and be like, what did you used to wear? Because I'll go to the fucking Macy's.
Test it out.
And just get it.
Yeah.
To just get a whiff of
a little
Momo.
Blast. Yeah,
I will get a whiff. So like my shit is grandma smell. And yeah. I'll even add on to that.
Don't tell her why you want to know.
She'll know.
Yeah.
Grandmas are special like that. I'll even add on Momo's husband, Popo, Ernest Bayonne, who sounds like Foghorn Leghorn. I'm telling you, I'll call him right now.
His name sounds like Foghorn Leghorn.
Like, I'm not even, you should talk to Lisa. She will corroborate. Like,
I don't even doubt it.
It's almost like Mel Blanc met this guy eight decades ago and was like, can we sign this piece of paper real quick? But he used to smoke pipes. Like
incredible.
Like real tobacco pipes.
Like a
Southern shit. Yeah, Southern shit. So this, I remember the smell of his tobacco.
It's incredible.
Which seems like something out of a fucking book, doesn't it?
But it is. That's why it's in the fucking book.
Right.
Yeah.
The smell of grandpa's tobacco gets me. What about you?
Ooh, smells that trigger memories to me. Like
pleasant memory.
Right. I mean, I can think of so many negative ones, like the smell of whiskey barf and all that stuff. You know? But like pleasant, I'll tell you, my mom is, she's got PD, so she's not doing as much around the house.
What is PD?
Parkinson's. Yeah. So she's living with that. And so a thing that I've been trying to get her to do for years, she's finally starting to allow, which is to let the next generation start to take care of some of the cooking responsibilities and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And our like family matriarch grandmother passed away in like 2011, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, this Christmas, I was making sauerkraut, the Croatian style sauerkraut, with like sausage and big hunks of like pork and, you know, just like a big greasy, delicious sauerkraut. And when I hit, it was like fine. And I was like just thinking about cooking. But when I hit the meat and stuff with the spices and I've got that first whiff of the dish, it was like, you know, human centipede of all the Christmas memories.
The grandma
like,
come back right there?
Yeah. I literally cried. I literally got like emotional because I made it.
Yeah.
I made the smell
her
happen.
Her line lived on through you.
Yeah. Oh, like this, I made the Christmas smell that I know.
Cooking is special like that. That's when I will cry when, oh man.
Yeah.
When I remember dishes that I,
yeah. It's like hard to even like not talk about. Yeah. Yeah.
When I remember dishes that I'll never have again, it gets really fucking hard.
My grandma's fried egg sandwich with a hot dog cut in half and a Kraft single.
Poverty breakfast, baby.
Dude, she used to make that for me every day.
Poverty breakfast. Yeah,
and like, I know it's not that greatest sandwich, but motherfuck. Just.
I really miss my grandma's like liver and onions.
Ooh.
And corned beef and cabbage.
Damn, yeah.
Oh God. It's the rough part. Cause there were certain like it's like the Titanic. You only too late did I realize like I got like we gotta like me and Lisa, like we gotta learn some of these recipes. We just have to.
Yeah.
And we got a couple, but we couldn't save everybody. So like,
yeah,
you know, Lisa knows how to make mac and cheese. She knows how to make the mashed potatoes that our family does. But like those liver and onions are gone.
I've been scrambling for that. Like, it started to happen, and I've been really like, my dad runs a restaurant, so he's been trying to keep some of those recipes, but I've been trying to get them all.
Word to the wise, man. Homework of the day almost is like, if you have family that you care about, first of all, it's two prong. Number one, give them flowers.
Yep.
I don't mean that literally. For those of you who are a little thick, I mean figuratively. Like, honor let them know how you, like, literally let them know how you feel about them and make them feel, as long as it's positive. Don't be a dick. Secondly, start building the ark. Start building Noah's ark because the inevitable flood will come. And you set a filling on animals, you fill it with methods. Mm-hmm. Like how your older loved ones do X. Even if you don't agree with it, just write the recipes down, or like how they do the laundry.
You're going to want it.
Yeah. Even if you never use it, you're going to fucking want it.
You're going to want it.
Trust.
Even, you know what I really regret personally is not sitting down with my grandma like I had been talking about doing for years and just pressing record and talking to her about like her life stories and stuff. She had all these crazy stories, and now I can only barely capture them from my memory because all her kids are older than me by a lot. Yeah. They're 70 years old. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Anyway, thank you, Larry D.
Fuck you for that question.
Thank you, Larry D. Olivia Newton-John, I know it's you. Next question comes from Matza. He wants to know, have you watched Baki the Grappler? If yes, what's your opinion on it? If no, watch it. It's on Netflix.
No, and no, I won't.
You've convinced me to look it up someday. Next time I'm looking for something to look at. It sounds like it might be a good martial arts film.
Thank you for your question.
Yeah. One more. Next one's from Marissa.
What up?
Who asks?
Oh, Marissa. You mean the giant lady in Street Fighter VI.
The Roman Centurion
/ MMA
/ Muay Thai fighter.
Yeah. Muay Thai. Oh my God.
You saw those calves.
Stop it.
Yeah. Hard calves.
Don't be racist.
Do we all see colors the same way? i.e. is my red your yellow? Follow-up question, what if we all have the same favorite color actually, but associate it to different names?
Yeah.
Brains are weird, and this is coming from a scientist.
I love, first of all, there was no need to qualify yourself as a scientist to validate your question.
I'm a scientist.
If it had come from a back off, man. I'm a scientist.
I'm a scientist.
If it come from a Luddite, it's fine. A question, it's all good. Doesn't matter. But I love this. I've been thinking about this since I was a kid. And even though I think that there has been, I think this is one of those things, man. I think there have been many studies done to prove that basically, yes, we all do see virtually the same colors. You know, what with like the frequencies that our eyes can perceive versus the ones we can't, right? Like we can't see past ultraviolet. We can't see past infrared.
Yeah.
So yes, we all do basically see the same thing. That being said, there is no way to know for sure. And I think that that is the most fascinating and the most beautiful part. I think it's simultaneously fascinating and heartbreaking to know that none of us will ever truly know how each other is perceiving the world around us.
Right.
I will never know if Ted hears the same things that I hear, or if you, Alex, taste or see the same things that I see for sure. We can all look at the color red and agree that it's the color red, but that's just because that is the name that we've given it. But so once again, yeah, like there've been, I've looked into this because I've been fascinated about this since I've been a kid. A lot of science points to the fact that yes, we do see the same shit. That being said, we can never really know for sure.
Yeah. I mean, from the pragmatic standpoint,
yeah,
like,
right.
Doesn't really matter. Like you can't really ever know. So you, it's like Descartes. It's like, yeah, maybe I am dreaming right now, but like, I'll never know. Right. But from a like, sort of like, I don't want to say poetic standpoint, but from like a sort of like philosophical standpoint. Yeah. Like there's something interesting about that.
Yes.
Think about that. Like what we have built all together, the entire system of color, the system of music, the system of language, all that stuff. It's all come from us building stuff together, like on top of each other. Like everybody has to communicate and share and figure it out. Like that's why we know what makes a good comic book or
ooh,
whatever, for example. Like
ooh,
the whole
now I think I'm starting to disagree with you.
No, I just mean like, for example, like the whole language that we use to talk about stuff is all stuff that we all collaborated on together. That's all I'm saying. Like language and the way that we use it comes from like, I can't even comprehend the amount of people that boil down, like, you know, as an English major, for example, like I read Beowulf, right? Like, and if you read Beowulf in its original form, you will see that English as a language has come a long way.
Yeah.
But that there wasn't like very much like formal updates. Like there wasn't like, you can't like patch it like iOS, you know, it's just like through usage and through dissemination of like ideas and language, we've come to some sort of common understanding about something that's, we can communicate almost any feeling to each other through like a common language that we all figured out together as a group of millions and billions of people.
I agree with about 80% of what you said, but I just want to amend the language that you're using, no pun intended. I don't think we figured it out. I think that this language is constantly changing over time, as all languages are, that still get used. But I don't think there's anything that's been figured out. And I think there's evidence of that because you say like, we can express anything, but I think what's beautiful is that we can't express anything.
Not perfectly,
or rather, we can, but there are still so many holes. Like, what was it the other day? I was thinking about, man, there should be a word. Oh, that's what it was. Remember when I told you that story that one time about how I stood next when I was a kid and I was babysitting and I found out later I was standing next to a car bomb?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I told you the story about how in the last couple of years during the pandemic, we had to get our roof fixed because it was leaking.
Yes.
And when the roofers came over, one of the roofers was like, well, we can fix it for you, but it's going to cost this much money. And then we were like, oh, that's so expensive. And they was like, well, let me call my friend on the phone who works with me and I'll see if like we can
do you a solid.
We can, yeah, we can. And he was like, OK, we can get it down. And then he called his friend. He explained the situation. And this is so long to make this point. But he called his friend and explained the situation. And his friend was like, oh, well, we can knock down this price, but it has to be tomorrow because we're all booked up because the rainy season's starting. And I was sitting next to Lisa and we both texted each other basically at the same time being like, are they like running a game on us right now? So that feeling of like, we're like, oh shit. I didn't realize we were in the presence of something dangerous or a predator. But like it's already passed now, and like we're like it's like retroactive relief, right? There's no word for that in English,
right?
And there should be. And so the point I'm trying to make is that I think the beautiful part of all this language is that it's not, we haven't figured it all out, and we never will. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like this ongoing sort of just like everybody being like, and we just figured it out.
Well said.
Yeah.
So as far as like perception goes, there's no way to know there. Like, I think that's wonderful. I think a lot of people hate the idea that there's no way to know for sure if what they're perceiving is real. And I think a lot of people hate that thought. And I think even more people don't believe that thought. I think most people are, what's the word I'm looking for?
Stupid.
Are 100% sure of their, you know, their tactile, empirical things they perceive.
I think some people need that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely understand that. And while I agree that, yes, my water bottle that's standing in front of me, I can see it, I can feel it, I can taste it when I put my lips on it, but I don't 100% agree that it's real.
Yeah.
Not 100. 99.99
yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah, in but, all
but
ways,
I always
yeah.
keep my mind open that you never know because you can never trust your perception 100%.
Yeah.
And I think that's fucking cool.
Yeah. You know those dirty guys I was talking about earlier that are really enlightened and they live in the wilderness and they're yeah. filthy? It's a trope, mm-hmm. right, for people to be like, the wisest men say that they don't know anything.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, but that's like, when you actually break that down,
yeah.
that's like exactly what we're talking about right now. And it's like, it really is like the most genius move that you can do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The yeah. only, Socrates, the only knowledge consists in knowing that you know nothing.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, I've been on that tip since 12 years old, baby. Let's go.
I just don't even think that a lot of people who hear it really
understand it.
Like, yeah, grasp what that actually means. But mm-hmm. I'm not saying, please email me and let me know that you do understand Socrates.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
Because I don't care.
But you're right. I was talking like, yeah, I think that shit is cool, but I do agree with you in that, like, it's just not practical. But when we sit down and have a conversation like this, and when somebody sends us in a question like this, it is fun to wrestle with.
Yeah. It's like, it's like the ultimate thought experiment kind of in a way. But that is nerd question Q&A lightning round. That was good.
Thank you guys for sending in those questions. They were fucking weird.
Yeah. If you want to send a question in yourself, head over to patreon.com/superbeardbros and you can join the podcast here and become part of the fun. And speaking of part of the fun, this is the part of the show that we always do. And that is the fan mail segment. Fan questions. I'll figure out the total name of this later. Last episode, you asked the question, what sense that we don't have,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
do you wish that we did have?
Yeah.
And so I've got some responses now instead of questions from our listeners, mm-hmm. A totally different set of listeners from the ones who asked us questions.
Okay.
For fairness. And because, damn, you guys respond to these questions quite a bit.
Okay.
You're getting some good stuff. So I'm going to read the first one, and then I'll hand it off to you, and we can kind of go back and forth and discuss these answers. First one comes from Alex, who says, electroreception similar to platypuses and some sharks.
Mm.
I think being able to sense electrical currents could be really useful in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Animals use it to find prey or avoid predators. And in addition to that, we could probably use it to find our phones when they get dropped between couch cushions and shit.
Of all the things.
Or find like a wire in a wall.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
I mean, I think that would be fucking really useful, yeah, actually.
Yeah, 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 it would be. I think depending, this is hypothetical, so we can create any sort of ideal situation we want. But I imagine it, like, if, let's say we had some sort of rudimentary on those animals' level sense like that, I wonder how different our world would be, because I'll tell you this much. We would probably not be surrounded by so much electronics because of sensory
it would fuck
overload.
Us up, yeah.
Like, think about all the towers we drive, but, like, we'd be like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder how different our world would be.
I wonder what it's like to be a shark in 2022 versus to be a shark in, like, 1822.
Mm.
I wonder what that's like.
More woke sharks.
More woke sharks.
Wait, shut fuck up. Ted, you haven't said anything in 40 minutes. The first time he does, make fun of me. Fuck you, Ted.
He loved the woke shark bit, dude. He jumped on that shit.
Mo woke shark.
I liked it. I repeat sounds I like.
It's fun to say, isn't it?
I wanted to do it myself.
I hear you.
I'm sorry.
Am I reading this one at the top here?
Yeah. Sorry for my tiny letters.
Here comes one from Awful Possum who says, I would love Future Sight. Oh, shit. Something like the next 2 or 3 seconds is fine. Nothing too OP that would make it feel like a superpower. Well, I'm going to be honest. I don't know what actual animal has that.
Spider-Man.
Right. You're right. The actual animal of Spider-Man.
Peter Parker.
Right. That's the scientific classification.
Miles Morales.
Yes. The African-American variant of that animal. That'd be fun. That'd be extremely OP. But that's okay. Like, we're all doing hypotheticals. The thing is, like, I don't think that comes from an actual animal. I don't think there's no animal as far as we know, that has, like, I can see. Yeah.
Wasn't I talking about hair sensitivity last time? Kind of like, I feel like the actual idea of precognition is kind of like wild.
Yeah.
In terms of this power. But like, there are plenty of animal senses that
give the perception
yeah,
of.
Yeah, sort of create this power right. in a indirect
yeah.
way. Yeah.
Yeah, like the animals are able to react so fast due to senses that we don't have, or that we do have them, but they're so much more sensitive in the animal that it can seem like they have
yeah.
some sort of precognition. So I feel what you're saying. I feel what you're saying.
As somebody who recently poured boiling hot water all over my hand while doing my dishes like a fucking moron.
That person was you. You poured the water on
yeah.
me.
As a person who did that, I could have used that.
Right.
I would have used that right there. And I, you know what? In general, I probably wouldn't have almost any cooking injuries if I had 3 seconds on any.
3 seconds is huge.
For something like that, it's huge.
It's the difference between life and death so much.
Also, I would fight anyone.
I mean,
3 seconds. That's a.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, you're right.
1001.
No, you're right.
1002.
You're right.
1003.
You're absolutely right. You'd be able to body
anyone.
Yeah, that's true.
3 seconds fight is huge. MMA, like looking like me right now.
What would be the most OP way to use that? 3 seconds. It might be a fighter.
The game Slap.
What's Slap?
That game where you play cards.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It might be being a boxer. Like yeah. if you could dedicate your body and then you'd be fuck me.
But
dude.
You could be like fuck boxer. You could be like Solid Snake. Like you could go anywhere.
Yeah, but I would not want to be a spook. Like I don't want to be.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I don't want to kill people for my job.
Right. Yeah. I just want to beat them to a fucking bloody pulp.
For fun. For fun and money.
For fun and money. Yeah, that's what matters. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, blackjack would be good.
3 seconds?
Yeah, I don't know if 3 seconds would help you because they've already dealt their whole card.
No, but you see your card and then you
like oh yeah, you can avoid hit me like bad yeah. hit me situation. I see what you're saying.
If you sit at the last position on the table.
Roulette.
Ooh.
No, but depending you have to bet so early. Like yeah.
I don't know.
But we're getting on the right track.
We're in the zone. I still think beating people's asses is like 100 because here's the thing. It's also remarkable, right? Like I'm like a pretty big dude and I'm like confidently walking into the octagon.
Right.
And I'm like, no, McGregor.
They would take you out. They would
they
take
wouldn't.
You out.
They can't. 3 seconds, my guy.
No. What I mean, I'm not saying they would hurt you.
Oh, they'd
you.
Pull me from there.
You'd be like, you can't fight. You know
I'd be like, I would be like, they'd try to grab me. I'd be like,
nice try, bitch.
Yeah. They'd be dead if I wanted them to be.
Yeah, then you start dodging bullets. And yeah. That's when you just have to disappear off the face of the earth.
Yeah. Then people will be like, what happened to that guy? You'd be like a guy in like Ripley's Believe It or Not, like 100 years later.
Mm.
I don't know. Like that's like you'd be a celebrity if you could do
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah, it's too OP.
I'd beat up dudes like on like Jimmy Fallon. Like I'd go on there and be like, anyone, come on.
Well, my talent is I beat up people.
I can beat anyone in a fight.
I have no business beating up, but I still do it.
You basically have the force for fighting.
Yeah.
But just really for stuff that's up in your face. So you really kind of just has to be fighting. Like, I don't know what else.
You know what the shittiest part would be? Is if you knew tragedy was coming, but there's nothing you could do. Like, let's say you're on a plane and you knew
that
it was going down.
That one time, yeah.
And oh. You're just like, there's nothing.
It'd be, nothing a, I it'd be do. 3 horrible seconds.
It wouldn't even be 3 seconds. It'd be like, you know, Prince of Persia, when you get into a loop.
Yeah.
Where you're like constantly rewinding.
You know, you're
like,
dead.
Yeah. Like yeah. you just can't. Mm-mm. You're constantly rolling back 3 seconds to try and figure something out.
Ugh. I wonder though, if I could navigate, like people have survived plane crashes. You know what I mean? Like maybe, I mean, I don't know what this power is, what this ability is, this sense. I don't know. There's no animal that has this sense, but you know, like maybe I could like position myself in a place.
If I sit in the right spot in the plane, survive.
If I knew a lot about plane crashes, maybe I could do it.
You know what would be the scariest part?
Huh?
Is when one day your sense of looking into the future, 3 seconds from now, there's nothing.
Oh,
3 seconds. Like,
yeah, you just know there's nothing.
Yeah.
And then it's an aneurysm or some shit.
Nuke.
Let's move on.
Okay. All right. Next one is from Jacob. Much like the Protheans in Mass Effect, I wish humans could sense emotion or just had a much more physical form of empathy.
Mm.
I think it would entirely change the way humans treat each other. And we could probably get way more accomplished as a species, like space travel or a really good national public transit system. Plus we could figure out, you know,
like this beautiful thing or this also very obtainable thing that we could
this
have.
Is an American, this is an American who's writing this, who's not been to England or Japan.
That's very funny.
Plus we could figure out whether being hit in the groin or periods hurt worse.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. Empathy would be great.
There's that gun in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie. Have you seen that movie?
Ages ago, yeah.
She like has this gun that like when you shoot someone with it, it doesn't hurt them. It just gives them your complete point of view.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that ability would be, it's, yeah, I want to make a story about it. Like that's something I've had in my head for years. Like if what would happen to society if we all had this, and it would change everything. It would be, I think it would be a double-edged sword. Being able to connect with people way easier, I think is a good thing. That being said, it would, what's what I'm looking for? It would change, it would shift the line on what was considered privacy and not.
Yeah, for sure. If I was the White Queen in secret.
Why am I picturing it again?
If I was the White Queen.
Oh, stop saying it.
If I was Emma Frost, the White Queen of the Hellfire Club.
No!
I would never tell anyone that I had this power.
Yeah.
And I would just talk to people and just give them that little extra burst every time. When
burst of what?
Like whenever I'm trying to express myself to someone and I'm not sure what's getting across, I would give it that little alley-oop.
You would skip the footsies of communication and go straight to spinning your meter on like, nigga, you get it here.
But that's the thing. If I could be sure, you know what I mean? Right. Like it's not like I'm just speeding up us talking.
Right.
Like I've talked to people for hours about shit and we're never on the same page.
Right.
But if I could just go
yeah,
and just make them legit, not agree with me, but just understand me, no question.
You're talking about telepathy though, which is very different from like empathy.
Empathy, I want it to be something where it's not about controlling somebody's will.
Yeah, you're planting an idea in someone's head.
Yeah.
Very different from sensing someone's emotions and or letting them sense yours and maybe manipulating them.
If you can sense them, can you mask them?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be the big change. And actually, National Public Transit System, literally just go to...
We could do that.
Yeah, we got
that. We could. I don't know if that was intentional on that person's part.
Get into politics.
It was very funny.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
Hitting the groin or periods hurt worse? I gotta say periods probably hurt worse than getting hit in the groin. But there's some question about giving birth or kidney stones.
Ooh.
I don't really care about the answer, but I'm not also... Here's some advice. Maybe just...
Don't have babies anymore.
Don't
have babies.
I'm just saying, don't go out talking about where you land on that question willy-nilly. Because you might cause more problems for yourself than you
can. Can we figure this out? Can't ladies get kidney stones?
They can.
Let's talk to somebody who's given birth and had a kidney stone.
I mean, I would love to, but I think there's too many factors. I mean, it would have to be somebody who's done both without any drugs.
They're both so, like, they're both passing something that hurt a lot.
Way too big.
But at the end, one of them, you have this beautiful creature that's part of you and connected to you. And then the other one, you have a baby. So, like, it's weird.
Yeah, it's fucked up. There's a lot more emotional pain probably coming from the baby.
Here is a question from, or the answer, a response from Z, I believe it's pronounced.
Literally, the note in the email was like, do your best. This probably can't be pronounced.
Thanks a lot, dude. Yeah. Z says, a sense that can detect radiation. This prospect of dying horribly to something we have currently no innate way of sensing is terrifying. Yeah.
I don't know if that'd be my one.
Yeah. But like, are you that worried about radiation where you are? I don't know where you are, Z, so maybe that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I live outside Chernobyl. Like, okay, fair enough then.
That's probably the least of your problems right now if you live outside Chernobyl.
But I guess I'm just not that worried about radiation. Maybe Zeno knows more than we do, and maybe I should be fucking worried about it. But yeah, you're right.
But it might be nice to like, some things you hang around emit more radiation than others, so you would just like kind of curb what things you are around.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. You know, like cell phones and shit like that.
Yeah.
I hear you. I hear you on that. I got you.
I mean, just if you're worried about it, maybe just pick up a Geiger counter.
Maybe you could, but like, I don't know. Like, would a Geiger counter even pick up a phone? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Would they?
They're
sensitive like that?
Yeah. I had, you know, Pat the NES Punk?
I know.
He's like a guy who does YouTube stuff like us, but he came on my Chilluminati show recently.
Okay.
He was talking about this time in New Jersey because there was a thing in the news the other day that all these people in this one school, in this one time, all were developing like crazy brain tumors and shit.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, you know, Z's not totally off base.
Right,
Maybe Z read that story.
Right.
But there was this one, like, earlier story in the 90s or whatever, when all these people were in class together that were getting this cancer now. No idea if it's connected, but they were like, the teacher was showing off a Geiger counter in class and showing like how it does stuff. And he was like going to all the rocks that he had in the class. And one of them was like, they had to, they had to evacuate the school.
That may be connected.
Holy
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
That sucks, dude.
Yeah. So, it, you know, I don't know. The Geiger counter, good sensitive instrument.
On a highly radioactive rock, sure. Like, I'm not saying it's not. Obviously, it exists for a reason. But I'm just genuinely curious, how would a Geiger counter react to something like our cell phones, I wonder?
Yeah. Also, Slava Ukraini, my friends. I wish... Oh, this is your... No. Who read this? You?
You Me. Can read. You go
yeah,
ahead.
This is the next one. Yeah, you read Z's. Yeah. Next one comes from Axed, who has already sent in a couple responses to the show, or at least I recognize their name.
Okay.
I wish I had the sense to tell if a piece of fruit is going to be delicious or not before taking a bite. I've had too many experiences where one day I'll bite into a juicy piece of fruit and then buy the same fruit the next day and have it be awful. As a result, I have given up eating fruit completely. My new sense would allow me to regain this missing element of my diet. Completely?
Okay, I mean, yeah, then that sounds very useful. I guess I'm just not that picky. Like, I've had, you know, not great apples or strawberries, and I'm like, oh, I guess this wasn't that great. Nom, 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 and I'll still eat it, like, because, you know, it's fruit.
I'll also say that, like, it's very rare that a piece of fruit, like, there's, like, a little test for every fruit. Like, if you watch old ladies at the grocery store shopping for fruit.
You gotta mush that fruit.
They're very particular. You know what I mean? You gotta just see. And for each fruit, it's a little different. You can look it up to see what the thing is. I don't know that you need an animal sense, but maybe that's like really distressing for this person. I can't speak to that.
Right.
But like, you know, if you're George Seinfeld, George Costanza.
George Seinfeld.
If you're George Costanza from Seinfeld and you need your mangoes or whatever, like, you know, just make sure you get a good one.
Yeah, I feel, yeah, if you're that sensitive about your fruits.
Don't bop yourself.
That's, I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Don't bop yourself.
That's rough.
I don't know. What else could you even use that for? Besides just fruit anxiety.
That's it. That's like, literally it.
I mean, I guess if it's just you and it's not every human, you could be like a fruit caddy.
Yeah. You can be like a fruit sommelier.
Yeah.
Who like, be like, this is the best banana, I can tell.
Yeah, you can make, or you could get like really into one fruit and like make like the best apple pies or something like that because you always know how to get.
Cherry, literally
yeah.
Apple picking, but cherry picking.
Yeah, picking that right best, apples. Yeah, that killer apple. I don't know. I don't know if that's like big money either.
Look, this person wants it, they can have it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Fruit sniffing.
Pretty interesting. All right, here's a last one for you there.
All right. Let's see. This is from Joe Zapp. Oh, it says tetrachromacy.
What does that mean?
Tetrachromacy. Vision is great, but getting to see even more colors sounds amazing. Yeah.
Oh, so yeah.
What we were saying earlier. Yeah.
Like bug eyes.
Like seeing past ultraviolet and shit.
Yeah.
Although it would be hard to fully enjoy if the people around you couldn't see what you could. Ooh. I find even more so than the animal sense that this guy brings up, I find even more fascinating is the implication by his last statement that like he himself couldn't enjoy it unless other people could also experience it.
That's he wants to be able to talk about art still completely with people based on his senses.
But here's the thing. Let's say I had this. Let's say I discovered like via one of those tests. You know how it is. It's like, all right, so here's what humans can see. And I'm looking at it with you. And it's like, and we're going to stretch out that and animals can see past these two points, but to us, it just looks like more red and more violet. And what if I was like, if I could see other stuff? I wouldn't be bummed that I'd be the only one. I wouldn't be super jazzed, but I'll tell you what I would be. I would make it my life's mission to accomplish that impossible task of communicating to you
what it is,
what I'm seeing.
Yeah. The new color question.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, How do you explain blue to a blind person?
Ooh.
That would make my life's mission, like, Alex, you know me. I will never give up trying to communicate something to someone else or understand something from that other person as long as both parties are still down, right?
Yeah.
I would sit here for days being like, you know, okay, take Violet, right? Make it cooler. You know what I mean?
Cooler. Yeah. It's a wild path to like extremely good poetry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have to like create new shit. Yeah. That is so cool.
A color that's relaxing.
I wish I could do that.
Yeah. That'd be wild.
Like that's what I want to do. Now I want the whole podcast to devolve into finding a blind person and trying to explain color to them and be like, we're just going to try.
Are you blind? Send us a tweet at Fossiani A or at Shaper of Stories on Twitter. If you want to chat about colors and you are blind from birth, never seen a color.
And I will try my damnedest for an hour to be like, I want to give you an idea of what this is like.
I'm not trying to discriminate, but I think you do need to be blind from birth for this to be like
the true conversation
that we're looking for.
For sure.
Okay.
Good one.
So that's the fan questions from this episode, from previous episode that they sent us their answers. But now we got to ask another question.
Mm.
So I've got a question here, and we're just both going to answer it real quick before we go.
Mm-hmm.
Question is, what's something that you care a lot about that you don't really broadcast publicly?
Most of my shit, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like as people on the internet, you know, we're very like curated what the things are that we kind of like focus on just based on what our jobs are, I think. I know that it's like impossible to say, no, I've never talked about these things that I care about online ever before. But
yeah.
Something that you feel like is still just for you.
Like, I don't know if there's anything that no one knows, right?
Yeah, right.
But I don't really talk about storytelling much. I don't.
That's true. You do in person, but yet publicly, no way.
I don't, like, I'm sure people know about it.
Yeah.
My name's Shaper of Stories for a reason, right? I don't really talk about that. I don't really talk about how important the concepts of critical thinking are to me, as well as empathy and curiosity. I feel like those are the three pillars, like the things I care about. I don't really talk about it though, because people don't usually ask, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that I care about those things a lot. Yeah.
I'm trying to think like what I want the main thing to be that I say right now, because I really don't know. I've been on the internet for a long time in a lot of places, and I'm just trying to think what won't be a disappointing answer for people who consume every single thing I do. You know what I mean? I feel like
you're the opposite of me. You express the things you care about all the time.
True, but I think that's true, but mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. I know there's things that I don't talk
I'm
about.
Sure.
Yeah. I think like the moderns, like uh-huh. like the modern authors, like the modern age of English writing, literature.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I'm very like literate in that, and I love it, and I like love the history of those authors and like what they were doing in their lives while they were writing stuff. I studied it endlessly in college. I'm talking specifically about probably like if you've ever seen that movie. I forget what it's called. So freaking Midnight in Paris or something like that. I can't remember what it is. It's like a guy literally goes back in time to like 20s Paris, France, and meets all the like expat amazing English language authors that live there. It's like Owen Wilson is the guy or something. I've seen that movie only one time. It was pretty good. Mm. yeah.
Yeah. I don't usually hear you talk about literature at all.
Yeah. That's a world that I'm like, fully in. I read Immovable Feast like twice a year. And then also I really, really like Disneyland, but I like it from a different angle, I think, than most people who like Disneyland. I like Disneyland as this sort of like ideal, an American ideal of like mid-century like optimism.
What, like Rockwellian shit?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. Like, I feel like Disneyland was sort of the apex of a certain type of American identity that we don't really hold on to anymore.
A moment frozen in time, huh?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Disneyland specifically, the one in Anaheim, to me has this sort of like analog record feel to it. I don't know. It's very
nostalgic.
Yeah. It's nostalgic, but more like not just for me. Like, I think it's important to culture in a way that is hard to articulate, or at least track across, you know, like it would be hard to make a documentary about it, but I think I could. Mm. But I fucking love
Disney. I'll try and explain color to a blind person. You go ahead and make that documentary.
About the the impact of Disneyland?
Yeah.
I'm sure I feel like many documentaries have been made about the impact of Disneyland.
I do too, but I feel like most of them, and I've watched a lot of them, I don't even feel like Disney focuses on the aspect of it that I'm talking about too much. Like the visual look of Disneyland, the idea of something like Disneyland, it changed everything for the worst and for the best. Like it's probably one of the most, if I went forward in time 150 years to whatever America is then, and we looked back on like culture and like American exchange of ideas and like what happened and how America ended up to be such a incoherent place. Mm. I think that Disneyland and the impact of Disneyland is like right at the center of that. Is that weird?
No, but I do think it's slightly vague, but I am intrigued because I feel like there's a specificity that I'm not getting from you, but I think it exists.
Yeah, it's very different from being like, I like pirates. I like Space Mountain. Like it's a very different type of enthusiasm that's coming from a different place. Though I do love to just go to Disneyland. I haven't been in a long time and it's making me cry how badly the new CEO is handling everything. But I love Disneyland.
There you go. I didn't know. I knew you were like down as like any fucking white person growing up.
So in this town boy.
Yep. I get it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. You don't talk about it that much.
It's yeah. True. And it's a very different aspect of Disneyland, I think, than most people today, especially who like it. But that's the question, and I'll ask it one more time. And yeah. Ted, I also want to give you a chance to answer this question if you have one that you want to say.
Okay.
Well, let me just ask it real quick one more time.
Oh,
what's something you care a lot about that you don't really broadcast publicly?
I mean, this is mostly because it's kind of cropped up for me recently, but I started to really care about cutting out single use plastic.
Oh,
and trying to eliminate waste.
Nice job.
I like that. Like reducing that
carbon footprint, huh?
Yeah.
Environmental concerns.
Good for you. Yeah, that's good shit. A very merry unbirthday to you.
To me?
A very merry unbirthday. Yes, you. Cutting out single plastics can save reality.
Yeah.
The desperate breaths in between are the best part. It's fucking Tay Zonday over here, man.
Guys, I love you guys. Thank you for watching the show. Please go to patreon.com/superbeardbros if you want to get into the zone. This is a completely Patreon-supported show. It's the only reason it exists, so go over there. Check it out. Thanks for listening. As always, we're free on iTunes, on Google, and on Spotify. Leave us a killer review, 5 stars. Get us in front of those cameras.
Real talk. If you're enjoying the show, that was a bad way to start that sentence. I hope you're enjoying the show. And if you listened, I appreciate you listening. I'm going to try this once because I promised some people I would. I don't really advertise my own shit ever because it makes me feel oopy. But I told people I would, and this is the one time it's going to happen.
Love it.
If you want to come hang out with me on Twitch, you can find me at twitch.tv/shaperofstories. Maybe I'll see you there.
Give it a look.
Real talk, though. Thank you guys for listening, and take care of each other, okay?
Bye.
I can't even go that low. Get me out of here. Whoa!
Who wrote the book called
Holy Shit! He schooled me. All right.